325. Today we have Tim Semisch, I think that's how you say it, director of strength and conditioning at Nashville MMA. Obviously, that's Drake's connection. Drake meets all these cool people. This guy played for Northern Illinois, even had an offer from Iowa at one point, bounced around the league for 5 years, has a great story, easy to talk to, good dude. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome back, Washoe Ball Guns fans, episode 325 of the podcast. And today I have the pleasure of sitting down with one of potentially the hardest working men in Nashville, probably giving Mike Chandler a run for his money. This guy has far too many jobs, far too many labels. Currently the head strength coach at Nashville MMA and the head lacrosse coach of his own lacrosse team in a league that I'm pretty sure you started.
Yep.
Former Northern Illinois tight end, played in an Orange Bowl, beat the Hawks in Kinnick. Former NFL tight end, former professional lacrosse player, all around good dude, my friend Tim Semisch. Bud, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Honored to be here, fellas.
Honored the fucking here. Resume, huh?
I try.
Guy's done too much, boys and girls. He works too much. He's here 4 o'clock in the morning. I get here. He's eating his breakfast because he's been here too long. And then when I come on Tuesday, Thursday nights, he's still here when I get here. And when I leave practice at like 6 o'clock, he's maybe walking his dog out by that point.
I'm not here Tuesday, Thursdays anymore in the morning. I get those mornings off. Okay. I come in at 9 a.m.
At least you get the morning.
It's that. Yeah, I mean, Kevin knows about it. Kevin interned for the team after we got done. It's that strength coach schedule, man.
Tough, man. Tough.
Are you there with Doyle?
Yeah, I interned under Doyle, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I did that my last spring at Northern. That's a rough schedule doing the GA job in the weight room.
Bro,
cleaning,
I mean,
all day long.
It's what time are you showing up to the building? 4 a.m., right?
Yeah, right. 4 a.m. Moving weights around, dragging weights around, polishing, cleaning and stuff. What sport? Yep. Did you work with any sports or were you just football team?
Just football, yeah.
Oh, nice. And
they gave our GAs so much of a hell schedule that they literally couldn't put anything else on their plate. It would have been impossible.
Yeah, did y'all you have to read like the books and stuff that they gave you and everything too?
No. So I got lucky. We had one GA spot open, like going into the spring of my would-be senior year. So I was prepping for like pro day and combine stuff. So I was already there and I double majored. So I was finishing my kinesiology degree. So The strength coach was just like, hey, I got a GA spot open. Do you want it? And like, I was still on football scholarship, so it wouldn't count against their GA money or anything like that. And I was like,
gotcha.
In my head, I was like, oh yeah, I'm already here. What more could you do to me? Little do I know that that added, you know, 7-8 more hours to my day.
yeah, there you go.
But you're
luckily I didn't have to do like the books and stuff.
You're still, sounds like you're still running similar schedule. Like, I mean, something's keeping you in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, I've been pretty blessed. I fell backwards into this job. When I got cut from the lacrosse league, me and my then fiance, now wife, we were in Nashville and I kind of didn't know what I was going to do. So a guy who I used to train with, first time I ever met Drake, Jay Holt over at Lipscomb, he trains Mike Chandler, who's the owner of this place. And he was like, hey, like they're looking for a coach. It's a fitness gig, boot camps and all that stuff. Like it's not much, but it's something. So he put me in touch with Mike. They hired me. I was running like, you know, your standard rah-rah boot camp classes.
Been there.
It was funny. Yeah. It was funny when they brought me here. They were like, hey, we're not doing really well as an MMA gym. We're going to put a bunch of turf down, and kind of turn into a sports performance facility. And I was like, great, sign me up. I already worked at a D1. I worked at a place called Fitspeed in Florida. Like I'll get athletes in here. I'm already coaching lacrosse. Like sign me up. And then like 2 weeks later, Nashville MMA buys the gym and all these jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and MMA fighters come over. And I'm looking around like, what the hell is this place? 'Cause I never wrestled, never did jiu-jitsu, never did any of that stuff. And then they come up to me, they're like, hey, like, you're a strength coach, right? I was like, yeah, I know nothing about MMA. They're like, cool, we know nothing about weight training. I'm like, bet, great. And it was Match Day 7. And I've been here ever since.
So, like, there's got to be a different philosophy, like, training team sport athletes versus, like, fighters and, like, you know, grapplers and wrestlers like that. I mean, as far as, like, just, like, your strength and conditioning training going. Like, you're not going to train a lacrosse player or a football player the same way you're going to train a fighter or a jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that was probably my biggest learning curve, which, like, I was blessed to have some good strength coaches that I've worked with. The one who I've called the most probably when I first started working here is out in Colorado, Lauren Landau. He's with the Broncos, but he runs his own facility, but he actually trained fighters. All the other guys that I talked to, like, never really dipped their toes into this realm. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit more of a challenge, but it actually keeps it more interesting because there's no true off season for the fighters. So, like, with football, you know, you're gonna have your summer program, you're gonna, you know, tempo back in the fall, and then you're gonna hit it hard in the winter, and then spring kind of depends on the program. Same with lacrosse, same with every other, like, sport. There's, like, a full-on year calendar. Whereas, like, with MMA fighters, we had a guy, he just fought last night. He was supposed to fight a month ago, but the guy backed out. So, like, we literally did a 6 to 8 week camp, which he was coming off ACL surgery, but we did a 6 to 8 week camp, went, did the weight cut, everything, made weight, and then his guy showed up, made weight, but then left the morning of the fight, like, claiming he was sick. I just don't think he wanted to fight. Jeez. And then, like, Zach came back and was like, hey, like, I'm gonna try to get a fight ASAP. So, like, all we did was put weight back on him and then, like, tried to stay in shape. So he didn't get that, like, full recovery mode. And then other fighters, like, they'll fight and then they try to fight within, like, probably 2 to 3 to 4 months. But then you have some guys who, like, they literally just disappear into the woods for 6 months and then they come out of nowhere and they're like, hey, I got a fight in 8 weeks. I'm like, great, how's your weight, how's your conditioning, like, all that stuff. So it keeps you on your toes more as a strength coach than anything.
It's more of like a peaking schedule almost than anything. Like,
yeah,
like, hey, I've got 8 weeks, I've got 10 weeks, I got 12 weeks, put together a peak for me and a taper so that I can be ready.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, I've got like 3 months to really hammer out and get like really into my training until
I have to tell them sometimes, like, sometimes guys will be like, hey, like, I want to take a fight, and like, this guy's like an Olympic style wrestler or something like that, so I want to get, you know, I want to put on like 10 pounds of muscle and I want to get a lot stronger. I'm like, okay, great, when's the fight, thinking it's gonna
hopefully
be like
12 months from now,
yeah, thinking I'm gonna have time to do that, and they're like, oh, fight's in 5 weeks. I'm like, great, like, we're not gonna do, I can maybe get your work capacity up like 2%, but we're just going to stay in good shape.
Yeah. 10 pounds of muscle in a year would be like good. Like,
yeah. And also keep in mind, like, these guys don't take breaks. Like in football, when we lift, like when we really hit the weights, like maybe you do 7-on-7 with the quarterbacks or like do like some like field work drills, but like, you're not really like practicing. So you can actually hit the weight room hard.
Right. These, like, that's our summer. It's like, yeah. Heavy on the training side, light on the football side.
Yeah, these guys will lift and then go do jiu-jitsu and striking and sparring in a 24-hour span. So I'm like, okay, well, like, I can't get you – I can get you strong, but we're only going to lift for, like, 30 minutes because if I do anything else, you might die.
Yeah, exactly. running them through –
they're cutting calories at the same time.
Right, running them through, like, a 5x5 squat at, like, 80-85%, not gonna make that striking feel any good later that day.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you did that, you're literally not doing anything else.
Yeah, there are times where, like, I feel kind of dumb doing it to like grown ass men, but like, I have to go up to them and be like, dude, you're done for the day. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, let's see. We lifted, we did good cardio, and you just did jiu-jitsu. Go home. And I haven't seen you eat anything. Like, go home. Like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, no, go home. Like, leave.
Recovery's so fucking important, dude.
Oh, dude.
It's
if they gave me a blank check here, that'd be my first thing, would build like a college football style recovery room.
Yep.
Like,
you know,
it would be so nice to have ice tubs here, dude. I get so fucking sore in this place and there's nothing to make it feel better.
I'm working on it. I promise you, with the new building, if we ever move, we'll have ice tubs.
The new building that they're going to sell because they are upside down on it before they ever get the codes.
Dude, it's Nashville. We can't do anything about the codes department. Has Drake told you guys about that place?
No.
No. What's going on?
We're moving. We're already in an 11,000 square foot facility. We're moving to a 37,000 square foot facility.
Sheesh.
And we're about 6 months behind. I'm excited about it because I'm going to get a lot of turf. and a bigger weight room. Right now, my weight room is only like 1,600 square feet, but I'm going to get about 4,500 square feet of turf and weight room, and a straight 40 yards of turf. So I'm hoping to get like more football players and lacrosse players in here and get the fighters doing like actual sprints. But because of Nashville codes, we're like 6-7 months behind because there's so much building going on here that we just can't get like inspections.
You got to wait for all the permits and all that shit.
Yeah, we're literally just people are asking us left and right, like, when are we moving? I'm like, I don't know, man. It's
next year
at this point.
40 yeah. yards of turf, and all I see is room to push a prowler, you know?
Yeah.
You could do some sled pushes,
flip some tires.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a guy. I do CrossFit. Hey, everybody, listen, I do CrossFit, by the way. Did you know that?
I have no problem. I have no problem with that.
Well, Kevin and Drake do. And I talk about it way too much for our fucking audience to listen to any more of it. Place first.
Are you one of those?
Yeah,
you're one of those.
Yeah, bro.
In every way, like if you look at Kluver, and so you know what that guy is. Like, you're that guy.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Every single that guy category, Kluver fits into it. Shows up to podcast in sleeveless shirts, 75-80% of the time.
I just like
guy.
Cutoffs.
Talks about CrossFit all the time. That guy talks about long snapping every podcast.
No, I
that
don't.
Guy.
That's yo, not true.
Hey, I can long snap.
Yeah,
I can long snap too. That helped me get a job in the NFL, so we can talk long snapping all day.
First of all, Drake, you know I don't talk about long snapping every podcast. That's a lie. Second of all, I talk about CrossFit a lot, but it's also because I'm trying to be in the top of the sport, and it's literally my life. So I'm not some guy who goes four classes a week for 50 minutes, and I still talk about it like I do it for 3 hours a day. I actually do it for 3 hours a day. My point was,
and you win competitions for money. You're technically a pro athlete right now.
Yeah, that's actually true.
You just got paid after winning a tournament. That's professional athlete status.
Turn pro today. back to the recovery. I don't train. I mean, I hit a lot more weights than those guys do who you're training. You know, they're lifting for 30 minutes and we're doing all kinds of, because we talked about it before this, all the crazy shit that CrossFit has. But those guys are training 6, 8, 10 hours a day. Some of those fucking dudes, maybe more, right?
Yeah. The high level guys and like I don't want to say wannabe, but like the amateurs who are trying to work their way up. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And even at 3 hours a day of CrossFit for me, sometimes I have to back off and just eat more, sleep more, and stretch and mobility. And that's what will propel me forward and progress me rather than more training. But it's so hard to get through your head because all you see is the active work that you do and not maybe the, let's call it reactive work or the recovery of it. And I, even with those fighters, I know that their mindset is just, hey, if I'm fighting more, if I'm grappling more, if I'm on the mat more, if I'm striking more, that's what's going to make me better. And to tell one of those guys, I'm sure it's very hard for you to go up to a guy and be like, you got to shut it down. Like you have to recover, like, and just come back tomorrow or the next day because your body's not going to hold up to this.
Probably 1/4 my job now of literally just like talking to, we have a new head coach here. He's been here for about a year now, Dorian Price, which luckily he was in the UFC. He fought in Thailand for 8-9 years. So like he gets it. And like having him here has been a huge help to like, no man, like you need to shut it down. But like before he got here, like I'd be in like screaming matches with some guys like, dude, go the fuck home. Like, no man, I'm fine. I'm like, go fucking go home.
Like, that's funny.
But it's just that old, like martial arts, like, we talk about it here sometimes, like martial arts is at the, like where football was in like the 70s and 80s. It's like in that like bronze age of like, it's starting to become like legitimate, like full on, but like, it's still got that like old hard ass, like, nah, man, just work harder. You're fine. Just work harder.
Yeah. Water sucks. Right.
I feel like all those sports are still like training, like the way that you see like Rocky training, you know, it's like, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to run 10 miles to the gym. I'm going to put a full day in and then I'm going to run back home and then I'm going to do it again the next day.
Raw eggs. And we're back
kinda,
at it.
Yeah.
Side note, by the way, cause you look like him right now, Drake, Cole's brother, and you look exactly alike. You're like, he's the budget. Well, he's got Fisher genetics. So he looks pretty good.
We're talking about Cole Fisher.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I know Cole Fisher.
From Omaha.
I went to high school with Cole Fisher. Yeah, I was in between him and his brother.
Millard North, baby.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Roll Stangs. Fuck yeah.
Wow, small world, dude.
Yeah, so
small world.
So Cole was my partner in the competition.
Iowa, was it Travesty? Oh, he was there? Oh, I literally was watching his Instagram story on that.
Yeah, that was me and him. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. Fucking small world. Tell him I said, what's up? Yeah.
Yeah, I will. He's a savage.
He was crazy.
And he's good.
Yeah, that dude was a fucking savage.
He is elite. I mean, not top 50 games elite, but he's, I would call him in the elite category as well in CrossFit right now. Like he's.
Is he better than you?
Who
is carrying the team more?
In a singles competition, who places higher?
Kluver placed higher, dude.
I probably do by a little bit. I'll say this. He carried the lift. The combined lift, he carried the lift. I was
his Olympic lifts are looking fresh,
clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably did a little bit quicker 50 than his 50 on the bike. The CrossFit style workouts, like the cardio things, I probably pushed the tempo a little bit more than he did there. I'm just a little bit smaller, right? So he's got a lot of weight to move around. He's better at a couple skills than me. I'm probably better at more skills than him. He was top 400 in the country in quarterfinals. I was top 350. So, yeah.
Humble brag.
Well, it doesn't mean shit. It doesn't mean shit if I'm not top 150 next year. So, we'll see.
I already told him it doesn't mean shit if he doesn't make the games.
Dude, come down here. There's two of the biggest CrossFit gyms in the country are down here. One of them is in our same fucking building. It's the bane of my existence because for our group fitness classes, we compete with them. They're literally two doors down. It's CrossFit East Nashville.
What?
Like, bro, you're
right there.
We're in the same fucking building. They're three garage doors down.
With Tia and fucking Street Horner and Will Morad.
Yes, dude. In the summers when they come down here to train, our whole building is like has the same address with like different suites, and like Tia and like Brooke Wells and a couple of the other ones like. They'll get their shit delivered here. So like these like big rogue boxes will show up and I'm like, oh cool. Someone ordered me new toys for the weight room. No, Tia clear to me and I got to fucking drag it down the train tracks for them.
Bro, I did not.
But yeah, they're literally in the same building.
Even smaller world. You're literally in the same building as them. I obviously follow all of them. Brooke Wells, Tia Claire Toomey, Saxon Panchik, Will Morad, Street Horner, Gunnar Reagan. They're all semifinal athletes that train out of that gym.
Yeah,
CrossFit is cool, people. CrossFit is cool.
Dude, come down here, man. I mean, Mayhem's not too far either. Froning's room is like 45-minute drive from here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm aware.
Nashville is cooler than Waukee, Kluver. I just have to let you know that.
Well, I don't.
Also, I'm certified in CrossFit, so I could train you too. Just saying.
Well,
and my wife's a gymnast. She can help you with gymnastics for the skills.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also certified. I'm.
Everyone's fucking certified.
Yeah. That's wild. That's wild. So when you were doing a boot camp, was it like, were you mic'd up and like, all right, people, 10 more seconds, push it.
No, I refuse to put my mic on. There was another gym I worked at before this and they wanted me to do that and I won't do it.
I did it. I did it for 5 months.
Were you at Orange Theory or you at a CrossFit gym or what?
A similar-ish sort of, it was actually a gym that was started by not a high-end fighter, but a fighter jiu-jitsu crossover where they did like kickboxing classes. And then they also just threw in like a CrossFit rig. They didn't do CrossFit workouts, but it was very boot camp sort of HIIT style workouts. And I worked there for like 5 months, right up until COVID hit and then got laid off, not because of COVID, just because the gym wasn't doing well. And that's when I kind of went into doing my own thing, but in this podcast, but, yeah, I did the fucking 4, 5, 6 a.m. class.
Let's go. 10 more seconds. That kind
dude,
of crap.
Dude, like just faking it at 4:30 a.m. to some 38-year-old mom who doesn't want to be there. You're like, come on, push it. Prove to yourself that you got it. Come on. And I'm just want to blow my brains out after every class.
Yeah, that was how this gym was when I started here, when I was just a trainer. And then once we crossed over with the MMA gym, me and another guy are like the last holdovers.
Mm-hmm.
And we got rid of that pretty quickly. Like, we have two different classes. One's like a strength training class and one's like a fitnessy class, but we toe the line of doing CrossFit without actually calling it CrossFit. Cause we legally can't call it CrossFit.
Of course.
but like we do like a strength training class and I ride it like a football lift.
Nice.
And the members fucking love it. So like my 5 a.m. class, I love it because it's like 10, 15 people. And like they come in, lift, and like I just make a cup of coffee and hang out and make sure nobody dies. Like yes. You could actually be like a strength coach and yeah. instead of like being like a cheerleader, like, oh, come on, prove it to yourself. Like I can't do that shit.
It's okay. I'm all like some people respond to it, right? Like everybody responds to whatever that motivates them. And if that 4:30 you need yeah. somebody screaming at you that you can do it and all this stuff, that's great. But I, especially Kevin and Drake, know that I am not that person. And it was never once like truly who I am. So like it's hard to be up and get up for that and scream at middle-aged people in like a rah-rah way for 3 hours when that's just not who you are. And I'm glad yeah. that I don't do that.
Especially anymore. Like if they don't give it back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's why like exactly. I like working with the fighters and some of our members now, because like I know if I'm gonna push you, you're gonna respond to it, but like oh. And like, you know, like if you're just like, come on, and they kind of give you that side eye, you're just like, why are we both here?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. And I was doing that for like 15 an hour too. So that was even worse. Oh. Bad deal. Bad deal. Doing way better now. Doing way better bad now. Beat. Drake, is this the guy who said that he wanted to get you down to 155?
Yes.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
But do you understand that Drake's like not Drake's already on the low end of his weight?
I'm well aware of that. That's why we have the beauty of weight cuts and water cuts. And
40 pounds?
Hormonal system. I didn't say he would like it. I just said we can do it.
Is there a clause? Is there a death clause in there? Because Drake was like pretty athletic and good at like 255.
Oh, yeah. I know. I saw him when he was full speed. We trained together when he was like full on fullback weight. But yeah, the death is covered in our waiver. He already signed it. We're good. Like if he dies, he dies. But
all right, yeah, cool.
Enough. Okay, but of he's like a calorie.
What about like 160? What's the 160 class like?
So there is no 160 weight class. It goes 35, 45, 55, and then jumps to 70. He could make 70.
70. 70. Yeah, he would crush.
He's already a skinny bastard right now.
Yeah.
What do you weigh right now? 93, 94, 90 something.
Yeah. But here's the thing though, is like, I'm not saying we could do this like next month. He's got to give me 6-7 months because we got to rewire some stuff. He's got to lose a couple pounds out of the legs. These little biceps got to go bye-bye. But like,
yeah, right. He's not going to like that.
All right. He'll be a little more of a McGregor, like wiry McGregor, but it'll work.
Who the fuck is this guy?
What do you have to get him down walking around to before he can do the water cut to 55? Like, you have to get him to 70 cut to 55 or what?
Yeah, without looking at blood work and, like, body comp, probably the low 80s to mid-70s for me to, like, comfortably be like, yeah, man, we can do it.
Puke.
You're telling you can water cut 20 pounds.
Yeah, the safe bet is 15 to 25% body weight. If you do it correctly.
That sounds
God.
Safe bet sounds very unsafe physiologically.
No, dude, if you look at like the 155 class in the UFC right now, literally a perfect example is Mike Chandler and Justin Gaethje. When Oliveira didn't make weight, Justin Gaethje threw shade at him on Instagram and was like, motherfucker's cutting weight right now and I'm back at 185. And he wasn't even fully hydrated yet. Same thing. Mike Chandler walks around probably high 80s, low 90s, fights at 155.
What about is that British guy Paddy the Batty?
Paddy Pimblett.
Paddy Pimblett.
155 and he gets up over 200.
So Paddy Pimblett's a different story though. Paddy Pimblett does not train nor stay in shape year round based on his own.
No, he's fat in the offseason. Yeah.
Yeah, he actually gets to 205, 210, and then gets back into camp, starts eating like. But I don't blame him. Like I would do that if I was a fighter.
I love the clip of him saying, I'd rather be happy and fat than jacked with abs or something.
Dude, 100%.
I don't know.
100%.
I kind of like
pizza and donuts way too much to have a six pack.
Crumble cookies for us.
Dude, crumble fucking cookies.
Bro, I ate.
You don't count.
I ate like 2,500 calories. I mean, today was a comp day, but I ate like 2,500 calories of Alfredo and two crumble cookies in the last 3 hours. And I'm standing up right now because I'm trying not to fall into a coma. but I eat like that pretty frequently. Again, training is very high, but you can, I think people out there are a little confused if you have control over total calorie consumption and training, what you can actually eat and still look pretty good at. And I think I actually have decent, this is crazy to say, but I think I actually have decent genetics, which I used to think was not a thing, but kind of worked that out of me. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think that's just one of the biggest like misconceptions. Like I deal with it on both sides, the MMA and the fitness sides. People are like, yeah, like someone said I need to eat like 12 to 1500 calories. I'm like,
oh God,
what?
After workout?
Like, yeah. You mean for lunch? Like what the hell? Like, oh no. Like I saw it in like an article. I should only eat like 1500 calories. I'm like, why?
Who Dude, told
you that?
Are you I have a squirrel?
Like, there's so much bad information. Do girls, guys, like I'll have people come up and tell me that. And they're like, yeah, like I really want to put on some mass, but like, I don't want to break like 2000 calories. I'm like 2000 calories for dinner. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Mass.
It's just a general misconception.
Mass is out of the equation if you're not going to eat 2000 calories.
Right?
I'm curious. This is my own personal research. When somebody comes in and they're low on calories, right? Could just be in whatever. What do you like to say like bare minimum for someone who's working out, who's male and working out, who's female? Say they're working out like 4 or 5 times a week. What do you... If you're in
like
control,
general, like a general fitness person, or are we just talking about someone who's trying to be like
that? No, not trying to make anything or whatever, but just want to be generally healthy, fit, and retain muscle. They want to look good. What is your personal idea on look? Because for me, I'm telling women minimum 1600 calories and guys minimum 2000.
I mean, I'd probably go higher than that if I'm being honest.
That's bringing some of my clients up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like bare minimum. I'm actually like trying to this summer, I'm doing some like CEUs to kind of do more of the nutrition route. Right. But like in the past, I've generally had 2000 as like the minimum, male or female.
Like, I know. Like
if you're going to be lifting, if you're going to be doing some type of activity, like you got to get 2000 in
it. And people
hopefully more on the healthier side, but
exactly. And people don't realize they crash their metabolism by going down and eating like 1200 calories for years and years and years. And they're still heavy and they're still their body fat's high as hell. And their metabolism's just fucked. Like it's so,
have you dealt with anybody doing fasting?
People ask about it. I've done intermittent fasting before. Not like extremely. No.
This last year, I don't know what it was. I don't know if one of the talk shows did it, but I've had like 10 to 15 females that I've had to like smack over the head with a bottle because they're like, oh yeah, like I did intermittent fasting and like I didn't eat until like noon and then they would only eat 1200 calories.
Yeah.
And they would initially lose weight because obviously.
Right.
But then their metabolism would just shut off.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I've been doing intermittent fasting for like 6 months and I haven't noticed anything. I'm like, yeah, it's because you should have only done it for like 4 weeks and stopped.
I do like a fasting challenge just like with community people who want to like join something. But the caveat is I also program calories for them. So it's fasting, but I give you the amount of calories that you're eating in that 8 hour window.
That's how it should be. Yeah.
And there's
a lot. They literally just think, oh, I shouldn't eat plus low calories.
Right. And so then it's easier for them. They like, okay, they know exactly how many calories I'm eating. I have 8 hours to do it. Most people can follow that and they see great results, but you know, people fucking eventually quit or whatever it is. Sorry, Kevin and Drake, this has gotten way too into the weeds. Any questions you guys want to ask the fucking guy?
Go, Kev.
Yeah. So what's Drake like in the training room these days? He's still a psycho or what?
Yeah, he's a pain in my ass.
Well, join the club.
I didn't deserve that.
No, he's good. We need to get him on a different program because he does the same six things over and over.
Don't tell me. He does pull-ups. He does bicep curls.
Never seen him do curls.
I've never seen him do curls. He does do pull-ups.
That's interesting.
That is really interesting. What else is Drake doing? Drake's probably doing some overhead press.
Occasionally he hits the dumbbells.
I know you do like dumbbell squats, like dumbbell split squat or stuff like that. Maybe.
But no, I actually don't see him do that anymore.
Deadlifts.
He always is in the trap bar.
Deadlifts.
Always in the trap bar. Like I might as well just leave it out for him.
Yeah.
He's always in the trap bar.
That's good.
But he does come in like right before usually jiu-jitsu. So he's not busting out like a crazy hard workout. He hits maybe 30 minutes.
45. I try to do 45.
Yeah. Lays on the ground with my dog for about 15 minutes and then goes and does jujitsu.
That checks out 100%. Yeah.
Yep. That checks out.
Minus the 2 weeks she didn't like you. There was 2 weeks where she wouldn't let him near her. It was the weirdest thing ever. And then they went back to being best friends.
Was that when you got Bane? Might have been.
No.
It was before. Random 2 weeks.
So Mike Chandler owns the gym.
Yeah.
How often is he there or ever?
Not very.
Not a ton.
Does he live in Nashville?
He lives in Nashville part time. He lives in Florida, and then I think they have like a vacation house in Arizona. Don't quote me on that though.
No, I don't think they have a vacation house. I think they just like to go on vacation there.
Okay, he's one of three places. He's either in Nashville, South Florida, or he's in Arizona.
Yeah.
He comes in from time to time, more to kind of like check in. He gets a lot of like mail from his sponsors here. But no, he doesn't train here, which like I don't 100% blame him, because like when you train out of a place like Stanford, you're used to only training with, you know, Bellator and UFC athletes. And we have a couple guys here who are on the cusp of breaking into that realm, but we mostly have amateurs and, you know, regional guys. So I don't blame him, although I am slightly offended, because like I've trained a couple guys who fought at, they haven't fought UFC, but they fought in ACA or over in Dubai, like same level. And then our head coach, Dorian Price, is like top 10 coaches in the world. And so like, you think he would take advantage of that, but like, no, he's got his setup down in Stanford. So can't blame him for it, but it'd be nicer if he came in from time to time.
Yeah. Does, what you got to give odds. What's the actual odds that Drake ever fights somebody?
Ooh, I'm going to go, I don't know. It's shifted. Because he's started to express more interest. And literally before we started, he's like, yeah, man, I'm going to do it. So I don't know. I'd say minus 110 right now. Like,
wow.
Odds are we get this dude in a cage in the next year. Like, it'll be versus a bum who can barely stand up, but he'll be in the cage.
It's going to be versus some meth head.
Is it
going to
be an MMA sanctioned event or what? Or are we just fighting in some
back of somebody's bar?
At our new gym, we'll have a cage, so that
Drake,
count,
I feel like
you can just walk in there.
Drake, I feel like you'd actually kill someone if like some bar owner is just like, "All right, I need six people to put on three fights. First six that sign up. If you signed up, I think you might actually kill someone."
Yeah, especially because like I know what I'm doing.
Oh yeah, as soon as it goes, I wouldn't say your hands are great, but as soon as it goes to the ground, you're going to pop the dude's head off.
Yeah.
That's funny. To hear that his hands aren't great is funny.
Nah, his hands aren't great.
And you've never even seen me throw hands. You weren't even here when I sparred the other day. You told me you were going to kick me out of the gym for sparring because there was no coach here. You said that you were going to slander my good name and put charges on me that were false. You were gonna falsify against my good name because I was sparring and you weren't at sea. So he doesn't even know. He's talking out his ass.
A little bit.
He just knows that I can really do it in grappling.
I've seen him take Muay Thai twice, and okay, when I say his hands aren't great, his hands are average for an amateur fighter.
Yes.
His feet don't move very well to throw kicks, but you don't need to throw kicks to be a good fighter.
Well, do you know his –
I don't think Drake should be kicking anyone.
Do you know his lower body history?
Blown out knee and a broken foot?
No, just the blown out ankle, no knee.
Blown out ankle, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Broke.
Yep.
So pointed the wrong way.
Probably hurts a little bit when he throws that kick, huh?
Hey, Tim's not giving me enough credit, bro.
No. Time out. If a fight goes to the ground, unless it's like a legitimate black belt, my money's going to be on Drake. But when you do these regional, I've been in this 3 years now. When you go to these regional fights, unless you know it's a bum, some guys just come out of nowhere with hands and they're just throwing haymakers. And the two times I've seen Drake's stand-up game, I would be slightly worried. But all Drake would do is just fucking spear tackle the guy and take him to the ground, and then
it would be that Instagram video that Kevin sent the group chat where he goes, "Come on. Come get me."
Oh, yeah. If somebody breaks into your house, somebody in jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah. Drake would just be on his ass, just like, "Come down here.
Come on. Get on the ground. Wrestle me. Come on."
What? Who do you give the advantage to? The superior striker with average grappling or the superior grappler with average striking?
always superior grappler.
Yeah, it's going to be grappling. I mean, you look at a guy like Oliveira, or we literally just had a kid last night win the lightweight title belt of like his fight promotion in Chattanooga. Like, he is good stand-up, but the dude he was fighting is like known for his stand-up. So what did he do? He literally would just form tackle him, drive him to the cage, and then just work on him for 5 minutes. Like, stand-up may work if you catch a guy, but you're really hoping to catch a guy. Whereas, like, if you have the advantage in the ground, you're winning the fight 99% of the time. Just because you control it, you can get in a better position. Most people who fight can eat three punches. But if you don't know what you're doing on the ground, you're fucked. You're literally a fish out of water.
Now, as someone who's, I've been messing around with jiu-jitsu a little bit in the last 6 months.
Why you're no longer messing around with jiu-jitsu, Kevin.
I haven't been for the last month. Had a little orthopedic injury. Some tendons got snapped off some bones. It's all okay. We got them put back.
Did somebody catch you in something, or you just
didn't tap to an armbar?
Bro. I wasn't in the armbar.
Was it a competition or just training?
The bar wasn't set.
The bar wasn't set yet.
Did you feel any type of pressure? Because as soon as you
nothing,
pressure,
just out of nowhere, just
it was just pecking his shoulder. He was holding on tight.
That's fair.
Just out of nowhere. No warning signs. Nothing. Just
honestly, Kev, your bicep
on the ground,
and the ability to keep your arm bent was probably to your detriment. Like, you were strong enough to fight.
It was to his detriment.
Right, yeah. He was too strong, and so he was able to fight here, and it tore before he could get the arm straight. Yeah, that's
What I was going to say is, how do you get someone to the ground without getting kicked in the face in an MMA fight?
Because when they throw, their balance is off. It's all about timing.
You have to time the spot.
They're going
to
throw, and you just wait for that combination, and you're underneath the combo, and they're just like toppled over trying to punch you in the face. They go down easy.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen guys get kneed or kicked where they go for a shot, but that's because they just mistimed it. But that's the extent of my
knowledge. That would be my fear, is just catching a knee right in the nose as I'm going to shoot on some guy.
And that does happen to people.
And then, pretty much done from that. There's no coming back from that, I feel like.
No, you're going to sleep after that. If you catch a knee in the face, going for
maybe
a shot.
Forever.
But that's why you got to have good coaching. They teach you to do that shit. Like, that's why Drake answered that question. I don't know. I don't coach on that side. I only coach the weight room. I'm still I'm a 3-year two-stripe white belt in jiu-jitsu, and I take Muay Thai maybe once a week. Like,
yeah, I got my stripe, and then the next week I lost my pec tendon. So
that's rough. That's a rough go.
You give and you get.
Wrong way to celebrate your stripe, dude.
Tim, how old are you?
I'll be 31 in September.
God, you look young.
It's the baby face. I can't grow facial hair.
Yeah,
I would trade millions for facial hair.
Neither can Drake, but
it looks good. Yeah, I mean, look. Kevin and I, we keep it clean.
I would kill for that. I would kill to be able to do that. All I can grow, my wife hates it, is these two little pockets right here. They don't even connect. So No Shave November, it's just disgusting. It's just really long right here. And bad.
That's fucking tough. Talk to me a little bit about your career, like all the way back to you're in high school, maybe even before that. What was the goal? Was it always football? Was it, what was the dream?
No, my whole life was hockey. I grew up in hockey. Yeah.
Where are you from?
So I grew up playing travel hockey. Me and my brother, my dad and my mom would drive us all over the fucking country. And when I got to high school, I got an invite to, do you guys know what juniors is in hockey?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's like seniors, juniors. And then there's like the youth organizations underneath juniors called AAA.
Yep.
When I was a freshman in high school, I got invited to try out for the juniors team AAA program. Like they're affiliate. Sure. And the head coach of the juniors team was good friends with my high school football coach. And my high school football coach asked the hockey coach, hey, that Semish kid, if we can get him, I would really like to. Because both my older brothers didn't play football, even though the football coaches wanted them to. And like I was like the last chance of like.
And you're a big guy.
But I'm the baby of the family. I'm the little one.
But how big are you?
My brother. 6'8", 275 right now. I'm the little one, though.
Hold on a second.
Look at Kluwer.
Wait, hold on a second. So
people don't exist above 6'7". That's not real.
Well,
my older brother's about 7 foot.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So you live with fucking Kevin Durant. Okay. So in my world, and in the CrossFit world. Walk your 6'8" ass down to that CrossFit gym that you're next to. Your average guy, probably the best guys, average right around my height, right? So, yeah, and normal people, like the audacity that you said, I'm the small one, right? That's what I'm having trouble with, because 6'8".
275.
And
well, hold on.
And everybody at home. Everybody at home shitting their pants. Now. You're the heavy one now?
I'm the heavy one now. So my older brothers are always a little bit bigger than me, but like they've lost some weight and they've kind of slimmed down. So I'm the fat one now. That's the joke in my family.
So you have two 7 foot brothers who are 250.
So the 7 foot brother is probably like 265, 250. And then, so I say I'm the baby. My brother Ben, who's the middle, he technically is shorter than me. He's 6'5", 6'6". But he is the bane of my existence when it comes to athleticism, because he never played a down of football. He only played hockey, never played any other sports. And that motherfucker was always bigger and stronger and faster than me. He would have been a guard or tackle in the NFL if he even remotely kind of sort of gave a shit about football, but he didn't care. So he just played, goalie in hockey, and then he retired. Now he does like video and photography. He's really good at that shit.
This but, man like, was 6'6".
So I say I'm the baby because he was always bigger than me. Yeah. He was a huge fucking, we both played.
Yeah, I was about to say like what left does he have to cover? Like he's covering the whole net.
He goes like this and they just,
yeah, he would just drop into butterfly. And like the only place you could really score on him would be like in between his arms, like right there. Like he was good. He just didn't give a shit.
I was kind of always curious why a NHL team didn't just hire a sumo wrestler to play goalie for him and win.
Some of the guys are getting bigger now. Like nowadays, most NHL goalies are 6'4" plus. Like Ben Bishop, who won a cup with the Lightning, was like 6'8". The Lightning's goalie now, Vasilevskiy, is 6'4", 6'5". Pekka Rinne, when he was on the Predators, I think 6'5", 6'6". Like it's starting to become that. They just never
put some ice skates on some sumo wrestlers and just tossing them out there.
Funny.
Honestly, sumo wrestling.
You could
with
put
ice
them
skates.
In basketball shoes. They don't need to move.
On ice?
They don't need to move, dude.
Yeah, that's fair. If they just drop into butterfly.
They are bigger than the goalie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but those guys are so elite, they will find the gap and that guy won't be able to move to it fast enough. Like
his neck fat is in the way.
Hold on. Have you ever like actually seen a sumo wrestler like move and do shit? They're actually low-key extremely good athletes.
Yeah, but if that was the move for a professional hockey team, it would like someone would have tried it by now, you know?
That's actually fair. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
We're too far along in sports to like, oh, we haven't tried this yet, you know?
Hey man, there's always some idea out there that no one's tried, and it's just like, now this is the norm in the sport.
Yeah. So let's run it back quick. So you're the small one. Okay. Got that down. So Kevin, right, Drake's an only child. I'm one of three, but we're normal people, right? 5'10". I'm the small one of the family. My brothers are 6'1 and 6'2. Okay. Normal family. Kevin, we like to say that he has the genetics of this podcast because Kevin is the small one of his family. He's 6'1". His two brothers, who are both smarter and better looking than him, and have families, and he's still single when it comes to like, when it comes legally, you're still single.
On the tax forms.
On the tax form, you're single. They are 6'5 and 6'7.
6'6, 6'7.
Yeah. So that's like a big family, and they went through a lot of milk when they were younger. Now, my question for you, Tim, is do your parents hate you guys? Because of all the fucking groceries that they had to buy when you guys were growing up, now you can speak.
They probably would not admit that publicly, but I would imagine my mom walking out of Hy-Vee or Baker's, the grocery stores in Omaha, with like 5 gallons of whole milk, God knows how many bags of chips and like sodas. Like, yeah, probably. Like
dude,
growing up in my house, like we had our own, like you had your own milk jug, you had your own like 2 liter, like what would be like a normal, like 16 ounce drink. Like we just had 2 liters. Like in my house, especially being the baby, like I wasn't ever allowed to like, at home I have this, because it would have been eaten by the time I got home. So like you ate what was there and that was it. So like, yeah, my mom,
no wonder y'all bastards got so big.
My mom would probably behind closed doors be like, yeah, those fuckers never stop eating. She'll never say that out loud, but like, Yeah, it was like three, four grocery.
I mean, just being adult for the last 3-4 years, feeding myself, I'm like, damn, this is expensive. I have no idea how the hell my parents fed us.
Well,
like, oh yeah, no idea.
We didn't have these inflation rates back then either.
Still, dude.
Yeah.
Still. Well, we're drinking 8 gallons of milk a week.
Yeah, that's fucking absurd.
When I was in high school, I was doing 1 gallon a day. Yeah. Like I would just had like I would just take 1 gallon of milk. Like
you just take 1 gallon of milk to school with you.
Not to school, no. But like I would just drink a lot of it before school, and then at home, like I would get home.
You're in chemistry class, just crack open your thing of
milk. I was also a twig in high school. I was trying to gain weight. I did everything outside of steroids and testosterone to gain weight. I graduated.
Yeah, sounds like you didn't try hard
high school. Yeah, I graduated high school at 6'8", maybe 175.
Wow.
I was a twig. I couldn't like. I wish I had my like highlight tape from high school. It's pathetic. My like we had like my like bench maxes on there or my like weight maxes, and it was like back squat was like 300, bench was like 185, deadlift was like 210.
A Kevin Durant statue.
No wonder I played at like Northern Illinois. Like colleges were probably like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?" And probably frisbeed my thing out their office. I didn't put on weight till my first year in college.
Wow. So interesting to me. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions. 6'8", 175, bro. I was 5'10", 2 1/4, you know?
Oh yeah. I was the skinniest kid on my team.
Like, if you had to go
some
back,
of my bigger offers were like, if you could gain weight, and I was like, oh,
right. Knowing what you know now, being in the space, sports performance, coaching, all that. 16-year-old kid comes to you and he's like, dude, I want to put on muscle. And there's a fair amount of them that listen to this podcast. Like they're kids in Iowa who play football, who found the walk-ons. Parents probably didn't do a great job of parenting them because they're letting them listen to our show. And I have it all the time because I'm also a coach. They're like, hey man, how do I put on weight? I eat. And most of the time they're not eating enough. I know that, but for you, 100%. What's the advice?
We're talking 16 and older, like high school kids, right?
Yeah, high school kid wants to put on mass because he wants to play football.
I mean, first and foremost, look at like you said, look at how much they're eating and what they're eating, and then when they're eating. Like I coach a high school lacrosse team here, and I deal with that. Kids want to put on weight, stuff like that. So, what are they eating, and when are they eating it? Like, when are they getting their carbs in? When are they getting their protein in? And if one more person is like, oh yeah, like I'm like cutting out carbs, like while they're trying to fucking put on 10 pounds, even high school kids, like high school football players are like, yeah, like I do like grain free tortillas now because my mom doesn't want me eating gluten. I'm like, no, you need to go get a whole loaf of bread.
No. All of the gluten.
Dude, it's bad. Yeah. Like I get rid of all of it.
While your stomach can handle it.
Yeah. I would, when are they doing that? And then what are they eating post-workout? There are a lot of kids that I deal with now that are like, they'll go and they'll go to a GNC or some type of supplement store and they'll just get pumped with like BCAAs and isolated protein. And like, there's no carbs in the protein. There's no sugar in the protein and it's BCAAs. And I'm like, no, you need to have like a fucking 4-to-1 ratio of protein or of carbs to your protein. And then on top of that, while you're walking out of the gym, you need to eat a whole wheat sandwich with bananas and peanut butter on it. And then go have a steak dinner with mashed potatoes.
Calories. Need the calories.
Yeah, just getting good calories.
I think that's one thing that kind of gets lost is like for the post-workout thing. Everyone knows like, oh, I need to get some proteins. Like, well, yeah, but more than anything, you just need calories.
Yeah.
You know, carbs, protein's great, but you need calories.
Yeah, I like carbs too, but between carbs or fat, just because fat can cause some trouble with digestion and getting all that down and stuff. But yeah, you're right. 4-to-1 carb to protein is good. Although if it's not after a workout, I love telling kids this. It's really not the best advice health wise, but I love fucking giving it to kids. Is they're like, hey man, like I'm doing a protein shake, and you know, the shake's probably like 240, 300, 400 calories. So I tell them to get the mass gainer, do the full serving of the mass gainer, which is like 700 or 800 calories, put some applesauce it up like they used to at Iowa, Kev, little extra carbs in there. And then to make it smooth and to add hella calories, olive oil.
Put ice cream in there.
No, olive oil.
Oh, sir.
No. few tablespoons and you can skyrocket the calorie count. You don't even taste
tablespoons?
It. Tablespoons? Yes.
Yeah, that's he's right. I know what he's talking about. He's right. You throw like one or two like caps of olive oil in there. If you shake it and you put enough shit in there, you don't even taste it.
Yeah, that's a shit ton of
calories. And it makes it smooth. I'm telling you, if you want to gain weight,
it's a biohack. I've heard about it before, and I've known some people that have success. Yeah,
just start drinking.
Just the concept of taking a tablespoon of olive oil and putting it in my shaker bottle makes me want to vomit.
Once you get over it and you realize, holy shit, I can get like 1400 calories in this shake. Then I would rather
do that than like, I know kids that do like three scoops of the mass gainers and yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? Like you're just gonna shit all that out.
You know what Cody would do is he'd put ghee in there. He put
ghee,
ghee. I don't know what
ghee. It's like an alternative to butter.
Butter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clarified butter, ghee. Yeah, he'd throw that in there.
Crisco. Just throw Crisco in there.
Oh God, that's dude. So bad for you.
So, R.I.P. to Irma, Lauren's grandma. We have her original like Christmas cookie recipe, and it's Crisco, dude. It's straight blocks of lard Crisco.
That's melt so that bad. Shit on.
And when we make them,
probably tastes so good.
Oh, it's insane! Yeah. But when we make them, and we start with that in the to make the dough, I'm like, I'm killing myself. I'm killing myself. Like, what are we doing?
We're all dying at full rate.
We make these every year, and I smash cookies for 2 weeks around Christmas time, and all I'm eating is this fucking lard. Like this, it's so disgusting, and it's high calorie.
It's worse for you than lard. It's worse for you than lard. At least lard's natural.
It's bad, dude. It's bad, but we still do it. Tradition. Fucking Merry Christmas.
Here's some heart disease.
Diabetes.
So you get an offer from Northern Illinois?
So my college recruiting was backwards. So I actually started at a D2 school.
Okay.
I started at Nebraska, Omaha. Okay. Because I was such a twig. I had some offers, but they got pulled. Like a soft offer from KU and Iowa State, but that was when Chizik left for Auburn, and that was Mangino got fired from KU. I had offers to like every single school in South Dakota and North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a couple gray shirt offers. One of them was to Iowa, actually. Oh. They wanted me to gray shirt, try to put on weight, and then if I made weight, they would put me at tackle. Because they looked at my brothers, like the football coaches were like, here's his brother, so he's going to get bigger.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to play tackle and I didn't want a gray shirt. So I went to Nebraska, Omaha, the red shirt spring, my first spring there when I was a red shirt, they cut the football program, but I had gained 65 pounds. I got bigger. I got stronger. I got faster. And like, I was beating the shit out of everybody on the, when I was on scout team that I was going to the starters. So my coach at the time, Sean Lewis, he's now the head coach at Kent State. He got me in touch with some D1 schools and I had a couple of D1 offers. And then I chose Northern. When like Dave Dorn was there and like he was building the program.
Cool. And yeah. Career obviously went well there. I mean,
yeah, lucked into a good situation there. Two good years with Dave Dorn, two rough fucking years with Rod Carey. But we had a good program. We had good players. And I mean, got me to the NFL, so I can't complain.
And how give me the synopsis of the NFL career.
So did a undrafted
that,
free agent.
Actually, first of all, was that ever on your mind? Like you go D2 and then you're like, I'm not even D. What, like, was the NFL ever an actual?
Yes. But in the same way that like, I'm sure it was on your guys' minds. Like we all played college football. We all watched Sunday football. Like, man, I'm a fucking big NFL. But like in the back of my head, like I took that internship in the weight room because I didn't think I was going to get drafted.
Right.
I didn't have the numbers. I was a fucking grunt tight end. So I didn't have the numbers to get drafted. I did pro day on a whim because I was already training for it, so I might as well do it. Didn't get invited to the combine or anything like that. So, I mean, it was always on my mind, but I always had, like, backup plans, sure. I guess. So did a tryout with the Dolphins, signed with the Dolphins after rookie minicamp, was there for almost the whole season, got cut, signed with the Chargers, finished the year with the Chargers, and then did camp with the Chargers that year, that next year. That was the last year they were in San Diego at Qualcomm. Got cut after camp, went home, back to Omaha, was working at a D1, running boot camps, teaching kids shit, coaching lacrosse and football. Thought the career was over, started like making plans and moves, worked out for a couple teams, worked out for the Titans. They really liked me, but they said they were like not interested at the time. So I was like, all right, cool. Great. Fuck me. But then at the end of the year, they brought me back on what's called a futures contract.
I love when they do that. Like, hey, we like you, man, but there's just no fucking spots.
I remember sitting there in the office with the head coach and the GM, and they're like, we really like you. You got a lot of talent, but like, we just need you to keep working on some things. And in my head, I'm like, what do you mean work on some things? Like I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm not on a team right now. I can't go just get better at blocking because I'm like on a one man sled. Like, what the fuck do you mean? But they brought me back on a future, thankfully. And then was Titans for 2 years. The last year of Malarkey, the first year of Vrabel, got cut shortly after camp with Vrabel. Had a couple part-time jobs here in Nashville. Finished with the Broncos. And then that was when I was on the fence of either signing with the AAF. At the end of that year, I had three choices. Re-sign with the Broncos, even though they had just fired everybody and I knew I had no shot at making the team. Sign with the AAF, which I don't know if you guys remember that league or not.
Oh, we remember.
Got a couple teammates.
Anybody sign with that league?
No,
but I'm trying to get into the USFL, though. Or no, the XFL.
They got combines coming up.
If I ever
made a comeback for football, it would be a snapper. So I commend you. Yeah. Like, I would not go back and play tight end.
Snapper's the way, man. I'm gonna snap for the Rocks League XFL. I'm gonna be a fucking whatever. Yeah.
Maybe you become friends with the Rock, dude.
Probably not, but that'd be cool.
Ballers in real life.
Black Adam debuted, or the trailer did this past week. His new superhero.
Looks good. Thing. Looks good.
So you bounce around the league for 4 or 5 years?
Five years.
So that, I mean, so you're never, it's such a weird game because you're never making like the actual salary. I mean, for a while, for a few weeks you were when you were with the season for a while, but.
So the Dolphins and the Titans, I was that like swing guy of like active roster, practice squad. So, I mean, like I made good money when I was there, but I mean, like when you get cut, you got no fucking job.
Exactly.
So get into it pretty quick.
But over the course of 5 years, you know, you get they do stipends and shit like that when you're on like in and out too. You were able to build up enough income to where you're like, well, I can bounce around and kind of do, you know, what I want until I figure out where this is going.
Yeah, the off seasons were great because like me and my girlfriend, we could just literally do whatever the hell we want. But we just kind of settled here in Nashville. She works at a gymnastics gym here in Nashville. And we just liked it so much that like we just decided to stay here.
But and that was what, a couple years ago, last year?
3 years ago? No, that was the year before COVID. Okay. I retired after the 2018 season.
How heavy were you? Did you play at the weight you're at now?
No, I'm a little bit lighter. I usually, other than when I was in San Diego, I was closer to 265, but like Dolphins, Titans, and Broncos, I was 85, 90 usually.
It's a big boy.
Yeah. I'm thick. Slim thick. But.
Yeah. Slim thick. 6'8". I'm the fucking small one. And now you're doing this and you have to fucking deal with Drake every day. I mean, it is what it is.
He's actually, believe it or not, he's one of the bright spots in my day. I can't believe I'm saying that while he's sitting next to me.
You must have some fucking degenerates in that gym then, because he...
Have you ever been in an MMA gym before?
No. Don't plan on it either.
He'd like it. You'd be fine.
Trying to win the cross.
No, Cleveland wouldn't like it. I've tried to get him to one jujitsu class. He's like, it's just not me.
But if you don't like jujitsu, what I tell people to do is go take Muay Thai or boxing, because like those are more instantly gratifying than jujitsu. Because if you've never done jujitsu before and some asshole you've never met before is just like pressing their chest into your face, or your face is like right next to their ass cheek, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Well, and if you roll with Drake, he shits on you. If you roll with Drake, his digestive system is not normal. And he'll just shit on you the entire time you roll with him. Just fart in your mouth the entire time. So it is what it is.
We've never actually rolled together. Is that true?
So he's keeping secrets over there from everybody, because he'll come back to our conversations and be like, yo, dude, this morning I shit in this guy's mouth for 25 minutes straight. Like, so it is what it is. If you smell something in that gym, it's this fucking guy sitting next to you.
I'm glad we never rolled together, and I don't think I'm going to roll with you ever now. So
I would like you to. Unfortunately, he is like pretty good. So Frank.
He is good.
Frank the Tank.
Have you guys had Frank on here?
He agreed he would. He just said he has to clear with the
time. He's got it. We got to figure out a time and figure it out. But I'm a big fan of him because evidently he's one of the guys that can kind of beat up on Drake. So
Frank beats up on everyone, even the people here that like are good, like Cam and like some of the other guys. Like Frank is just – Frank doesn't make sense. Like I have – humble brag, I have pretty big hands.
I would imagine.
Frank's hands are twice my size. Like when I shook his hand, his pinky and thumb are almost touching on the backside of my hand.
And he looks like Jocko.
Yeah. If you told me him and Jocko were cousins or brothers, I'd believe you.
So this guy, like you run into Frank the Tank, and that's just a guy that everybody on earth knows, like without even knowing who he is, you just kind of get the vibe. Well, you just don't fuck with this guy.
Yeah. You look at him and you're just like, he's a couple of fucking.
Have you met Evan, his wife?
Yeah. And Milo.
Yeah. So he just had a kid about a year ago, year and a half, 2 years, whatever. His wife is probably 6'1", 6'2", strong as a fucking ox. She used to actually work here before they had Milo. And then Milo is a year and a half, and can probably bench like a car. Like, that kid's going to be a fucking stud.
So his wife can beat us too. Great. Speaking of, I saw Garrett Jansen was also at this. He does CrossFit. He was also at the competition this week. And he married fucking what's her face? The basketball player?
Hannah,
I forget her maiden name, but
she was a basketball player.
Dude, and I forgot how goddamn tall basketball players are. She was there walking around. She's the tallest one in the goddamn. Dwarfs me, bro. Dwarfs.
Garrett's not that tall either. Is she taller than Garrett?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How tall is she? Like 6'2?
6'3.
Oh, damn. He's going for a breeder there then.
Oh, their kid's going to be a stud. I talked to him. The kid was there and looks like the Michelin man. And
gotta grow into it.
Sure. And he goes, he's 99th percentile in every fucking measurement there is. And I was like, yeah, dude, you're going to have a fucking athlete kid. Like you've got an absolute tank on your hands. He's like, yeah, man. And dude, he was, Garrett, he's the nicest guy. So I see him him yesterday. Today he shows up and the first thing that happens is he walks over to me and hands me a book about fatherhood. I'm like, I was like, what the fuck? How are you so perfect? What, like, how are you actually that nice? Like
Garrett is nice. One of the nicest dudes we played.
Just one of the most genuine dudes you'd ever meet. Yeah. Well, Tim, we appreciate you coming on. I mean, we can definitely, I feel like there's a whole lot more to talk about. We don't want to waste your guys' time forever. Especially with the schedule you run over there. I mean, you're probably waking up at...
It's getting better. He oversold it. For a while, I was doing 12, 14-hour days, but it's scaled back. I'm not as busy. I mean, I'm busy, but I'm not as busy.
Sounds like shit. When are you waking up tomorrow?
5.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 a.m.
So you probably need to get to sleep. How many hours Holy fuck. I'm in a coma. How many hours?
You need to go to sleep. Yeah,
I absolutely. How many hours a night do you sleep?
Not enough. Usually between 5.5 to 6. My wife, she works at a gym, so she doesn't get home till late. She doesn't come till 8:30. So like, I stay up late because that's the only time I get to see her. Because like, she doesn't work in the morning. I work in the morning, so we're on like, some days we're on cross schedules. Mm. So yeah, 5 to 6 hours of sleep. It's pretty ass. I need to be better about it.
Pretty ass. Drake sleeps for like, that's all he does is. You know, he probably tells you he goes to jujitsu and plays with his dogs.
He'll roll in at like 9:30 and be like, yeah, man, I just got up. And I'm like, fuck you. I've been here for 6 hours.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
But then we'll also get texts from Drake at like 4 o'clock in the
4 o'clock in the morning sometimes. And he's just
doing what?
Just sometimes I can't sleep, dude.
And you got insomnia too? I got
thinking about jujitsu.
Vitamins wore off. All right. Well, thank you for coming on and obliging us.
Yeah, no. I figured we were going to talk way more about Iowa football, so I'm kind of happy we didn't. Yeah.
Well, we talk a lot about Iowa fucking podcast.
I was kidding. I was a joke. I was just kidding.
I was interested in you.
Iowa football sucks. Huh?
I was just interested in you. I mean, that's what this is about. We bring up people who our listeners have heard plenty, and we're rolling into, in 2 months, it's going to be Iowa football for 4 months straight. So
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's very true.
A lot to go on. If Drake gets you back on, I'm sure there's plenty more to talk about. Calories and fucking.
Is Northern play Iowa this year?
I don't know. If they stop doing that.
I don't believe so.
No, I was gonna say we do a preview for that game, but never mind.
Definitely, if they do on the schedule in the next couple of years, we'll definitely do that. Episode 325. Hope everybody enjoyed listening. I'm gonna literally go fucking crash. Unfortunately, I actually have to do the work post podcast on this. This is one of those nights where I wish Kevin or Drake knew how to do this shit. But would I really would I really put it in their hands? Probably not. So
you know what's happening is it's just going to get uploaded.
That's why he owns
34%. There's going to be no editing. There's going to be no intro, no nothing. It's just going to get uploaded the way it
is. No intro, no music. Yeah, exactly. Spaces are all going to be in there. No advertisements. Just it is what it is.
No advertisements.
We'll be back on Thursday.
I like it better that way.
No, they would not. We'll be back on Thursday with somebody or some other bullshit like we always are. Till then, peace.